Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, you may recall the case in the UK of Sally Challen. She killed her husband after enduring 4 decades of coercive control. She was jailed, but after 8 years of campaigning, that conviction was quashed in favour of a manslaughter conviction. Her son David is now the author of The Unthinkable, a story of control, violence and my mother. David, good afternoon to you.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
If we could start maybe with when you were a child and the relationship you had with your father. Was there an element of that control in it as well?
Yeah, part of the story of writing this book is to go back and excavate, you know, who that child was in that home and what it led to me being the adult that grew up and sitting in the atmosphere of these homes is very much the pristine frontages of a middle-class household. But in any household that we see around the country or any other country, it's the idea that it lives behind those closed doors. And I guess the abuse I suffered was, you know, that atmosphere just pouring out from behind the closed doors. And many parents believe they're shielding their children from it, that they don't see it, but children are porous. And so there were signs, and I mean, I always had a pit in my stomach that my father was bad, but I normalized the servitude of violence that my mother lived under. She was did everything for him and had to. She was economically abused financially, which is part of coercive control. She had to hand over her money that was earned. She used to clean for family members, but he isolated her from friends and family. They only had friends together. And over time, as I grew up, the doors started to come ajar in that home, you know, where adults pursue their next lives when teenagers stand on their own 2 feet. It became more apparent and there was more abuse that was happening that I didn't have a language for, which was coerced control. And, you know, certainly the elements of that were gaslighting and making my mother question her sanity, and listening to that was a psychological war zone for a child that was trying to make sense of what was going on. But very much when I was afforded the language of coerced control, finally gave me an ability to speak. And so looking back now, it was the dark ages, but we're afforded this language now to make the change possible.
Yeah. Now, with the book is divided into 2 parts, kind of like your own growing up in that household and then the trial, which I suppose a lot of the stuff that came out in the trial, to you, was that a process of, because a lot of these, a lot of the events probably you weren't aware of, but made sense in the context of that atmosphere.
Well, the original murder trial only looked at the last 5 or 10 years of their life together, which is quite odd. But and we weren't allowed to kind of speak ill of our father. You know, you don't speak ill of the dead, as in play with juries, is what we're instructed. And so without a language of coerced control, all we said on the stand with multiple friends and family was control. And we all had a part of that story. And so when she was convicted of murder in 2011, I got the case files back and I looked to find answers, and I found evidence from both the forensic psychologists of both the Crown and the defence that she told them that she had been violently sexually assaulted, and that evidence was never used. But as the appeal drew closer many years later, after being afforded new evidence to get an appeal, which was multiple mental health disorders that were overlooked or not even explored at the original trial, that in tandem with a framework of understanding the coerced control of the life that she lived under, it painted and coloured a background to my life that I never really wanted to know about, you know, touching that child again and the happy memories he had, but there was a lingering atmosphere around it, was colouring a picture that I never wanted to do, but was a necessity to give voice to the harm that she had been inflicted upon. But it wasn't just my mother's story, it was so many other women. And this book is also bringing, you know, adult children into the mix, and their voices need to be heard, and where they grow up into the world, and to claim their own survivorship too.
Yeah, there was a point, as I understand it, when you were on holiday, when your mother had decided to leave your father. And what was your reaction to that at the time?
I was so happy for her. You know, she had been fighting for so many years to have the autonomy to leave and escape. You know, my mother was painted as a jealous, vengeful woman at the original murder trial, but in reality, it was a woman trying to find her reality from which to leave a 40-year relationship where he had built this idea that he was the person who was her brain. You know, coercive control is like someone opening your head up and manipulating and massaging your brain to question your insanity. And she was trying to find the ground from which she was walked on to walk out that door and escape. And she did. But you know, what happened afterwards was post-separation abuse, and he preyed upon her vulnerability.
By that stage, and it had, you know, she'd endured many decades of it, and there'd been all sorts of things like he didn't allow her to have friends outside situations he controlled. Apart from you and your brother, did she have a support network when she finally left?
No, that's part of it too. You know, we lacked the language that this was abuse. You know, she started to question facts that she printed out that proved his infidelities that eventually led her to leave. And she told me that she was questioning if she was making this all up in her head. And without the knowledge of what was going on, we were all adrift. You know, I was trying to survive the outcome of this. So, you know, but she was without an identity, you know, hollowed out. You know, basically the core of her being was this person. She was the age 15 when she met my father, who was 21. Today, that would be called grooming. Our language progresses and our understanding of power control that precedes the escalation of violence is part and core of this book. You know, there's so many permutations to the story, not just the unthinkable act of what my mother did, but she tried to end her life multiple times that I found out as we approached the appeal, because she shared more of her life story that she hadn't had an ability to pull at the thread of understanding her own harms, because she normalized it for her whole entire life. She went on a freedom program in prison on remand, and she came out wide-eyed, and it was all me. Everything they were saying was me. I couldn't believe it. It's like, so this shepherd of my life suddenly became a lost sheep in my eyes. And it just really shows the shine that many survivors and victims of domestic abuse walk and look at that, they have it all together, and they could be captains of industry. You know, I know people like this, and really behind those closed doors, they've normalized a life of servitude and control.
Mm. On the day that the killing took place, had it been her plan to also end her own life?
Yeah, so I was told at work whilst I was waiting tables that my father was dead, and I got shuttled back to my cousin's house where I was marooned on a sofa waiting to hear for what was about 2 hours if my mother was going to jump off Beachy Head, a famous suicide spot. As surreal as anyone listening to this can imagine, it is to me today. But fortunately, chaplains who walk across that spot spoke to her, and a police negotiator spoke her down. And, you know, both those people have reached out to me. And it's so lovely to hear in the story the people who recognize part of the signs on this journey, that we'll have a piece of the puzzle, really, to these stories, and understand there's more to it. It's never a justification for what happened. It's never been that. It's about an understanding so these events never happen again.
How do you feel about your father? He was still your father despite all the terrible things he did to your mother.
Yeah, I think this book made me confront every possible hard truth or reality, and I've never wanted to shirk that at all. He was my father. I identified him. I chose to identify him because I wanted to in some way take on whatever I could of the brutality of what she did. I didn't want to just flick a switch and say, well, I'm going to protect the only parent that's left alive. Never. He was my father. And even though he rejected me and almost coerced me into gaslighting my own mother, making her believe that she was insane too, he was still my father and never deserved this. And so he belongs in a place of love in this book to a small child of me, but I can never accept him, love him as an adult for what I knew and discovered. This was a strategy. This is someone who, you know, had a coordinated campaign of sexual violence as routine that was underpinned by coerced control. And coerced control underpins all of domestic abuse, which is why there's an urgency to get these stories out and proliferate it. You know, I've made it novelistic so people are able to read this very quickly and impacted by it and go out into the world and feel upskilled to spot it. Because everyone, my mum spoke to friends, family, colleagues, GPs, therapists, they were all a moment that could have stopped this if we had the language. And today we have it, and that's the momentum behind this book.
And how's your mother doing now?
She's really good, thank you. Yeah, she's happily remarried to a childhood friend. She lives on an acre of land. She has peacocks that run into her garden. She's living her life as an adult woman that she never got the chance to exist under, because she was 15 years old when she was captured by my father. And I'm really happy to see her live the life that she always wanted. And it's very much been a journey for both of us to come back together and share our own traumas. And it's been a collaboration in this book, allowing her to share what she originally wanted to write and share herself. But I've done for her, and I've also done for a child version of me. And I think that's the power to the story. So many adults who walk around this world who have a chance to claim their survivorship and should be allowed to. And we all need to be seen for that.
David, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was David Challen there. The name of his book is The Unthinkable: A Story of Control, Violence and My Mother. And if you are affected, you know, as is often the case, we have to make these kind of announcements. If just to remind you, the Samaritans Free Phone Help number, it's open 24/7, is 116123. Also, support is available at Women's Aid 24 Hours National Free Phone Helpline. That's 1800 341 900, 1800 341 900, or you can go to womensaid.ie.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.